Our economy is still recovering from the economic crash that some are calling the Great Recession, and one of the major parts of that recovery has to do with unemployment. Nationally, unemployment is hovering around 8%, but for youths between the ages of 16 and 24, national unemployment is nearly double that, at around 16.5%. And in Wisconsin, those numbers are a bit lower overall, but the spread is about the same. Wisconsin youth unemployment is around double that of the adult rate. But why does that matter? Why should we care about whether these youths are working or not? And what does youth unemployment do to affect the rest of us? I'm Rich Kramer, and this hour we'll look into the local statistics on the subject and look for some answers to those questions. And we'll also talk about a local nonprofit group that is working to train youths in the art of labor and pair them with career track jobs. This is the West Side. And now I'd like to welcome three guests to the program this evening. First, giving us some labor statistical insight is labor economist with the Department of Workforce Development, Scott Hodek. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Anytime, Rich.
And next, I'd like to welcome Jody Connor. He is the Clark County Coordinator for the nonprofit group West Central Workforce Resource. Jody, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. And I'd like to welcome the Media Coordinator for West Central Workforce Resource, Scott Morfin. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me too, Rich.
Sorry for not getting the mic on right away. And Scott is an old radio pro. He worked for many years as a station manager at our sister station, WUEC. Good to have you back on the air.
Well, it's great to be back on the air. And for what it's worth, Jody's a current radio pro.
Oh.
Down in Clark County.
Oh, what station?
CCN. They let me do a morning thing about once every 3 months.
All right.
Classic rock.
That's my kind of rock. All right. So now back to the issue at hand. We're talking about youth unemployment, and I'd like to welcome you, the listener, to get in on the discussion as well. What do you think about youth unemployment? Are you surprised by the spread, the 2-to-1 spread that youth are unemployed at a 2-to-1 rate over adults? And why do you think that might matter, or does it not matter to you? Give us a call and tell us what you think. The number is 1-800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. And if you'd prefer, you can leave a question or a comment on our West Side Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type The West Side in the search bar. Now, we'll get right into some of the data locally here. And as I mentioned, Scott Hodek, the national rate for unemployment is around 8.2%, and that I could find. Unemployment rate's about double that at around 16.5%. When we talk about youth employment, first of all, what age range? Why is it? Is it 16 to 24 or?
Well, you know, you could really go. You could go 16 to 19. You could go 16 to 24. I think most data sources will use 16 to 24 simply because 16 to 19 is a very it's pretty volatile data-wise. I mean, it's hard to say whether they're going to choose to work or, mm-hmm. you know, stay in extracurriculars in high school. But you start getting into that, the maybe 18 to 24 range, and there you're definitely starting to see some work, even if it's part-time during college. And you're also capturing some of the new college grads, too, so it's a good age to look at.
All right, so let's get right into it. What are the numbers for Wisconsin as far as youth employment or youth unemployment?
Well, the numbers I'm looking at here that I analyzed were 2011 annual averages, and the U.S. had 8.9% in 2011 as their total unemployment rate, and their youth unemployment rate was 17.3. So we actually had 7.8%, and our youth unemployment rate was 14.9%. So like you said, it does tend to run about double. Our gap was a little lower than the nationwide. And that tends to happen in Wisconsin. We do. We've always had a pretty high participation rate amongst our youths.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to work, and for that matter, most of Wisconsin has a pretty high participation rate. And,
right.
Yeah.
And what is that? I mean, I remember traveling in the South, and people would marvel at, you know, they'd talk about, oh, Wisconsin, we always hire them to whatever. We've got a good work ethic. Is that what it's about?
Well, you know, it's hard to say for sure, really, but some people will say, yeah, the Wisconsin work ethic. Some people will say, you know, that we tend to have, you know, need to, families will need dual wage earners, things like that. I think it's probably a combination of both. You know, we do have a strong cultural work heritage, so I'm thinking that probably does have a lot to do with it.
Sure. All right. So labor participation historically for youths is what usually?
It's pretty high. It can be anywhere between 70% and 80%, and that's the rate at which, you know, your youth aged population is actually either working or actively looking for work. So that has dropped to, you know, I'm just looking off the top of my head here. I believe it's in the 60s, the high 60s. And if you look at the employment to population ratios, you see the same thing. And why those are handy is they sort of you can see how much of your population in that age group is actually interested in working. Because when people do drop out of the labor force, they really don't show up in those statistics anymore, mm-hmm. unless you're looking at the total population in that age group. So, we have seen the participation rates and especially the employed-to-population ratio really fall throughout the recession, and it still really hasn't picked up a lot.
What could be playing into that?
And just to tag on to my last statement there, we have seen some glimmers that things are picking up somewhat in terms of that. If you look at basically what age group you're looking at there, you've got the 16 to 18. They've probably never worked before. And if you've got, an older worker who's coming in, there's a lot more competition during a recession. You know, they're clearly looking at the unemployment rates and the jobs numbers. There are fewer jobs out there. Mm-hmm. So that person who's fresh, you know, and who's never worked before, it's harder for them to get that kind of position. So that right there makes that group, gives them a higher unemployment rate.
So is there a typical youth job? I mean, can we point to one industry or one, you know, category and say, well, that's for youths. That's 16 to 24 all over it right there.
leisure and hospitality. So food service, hotels, recreation, which is not to say that you won't find them in all industries, but that particular industry, you tend to find a lot of younger workers.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side is you'll find a lot of older workers in government. Some other industries that are aging, maybe manufacturing. Mm-hmm. You don't find a lot of young workers in there. So there are some industries where they'll typically look for their first jobs, especially.
And the participation to employment in work goes down for youths, is it going up for any other categories?
Yeah, actually, it has been rising for the ages 55 and older.
Okay.
Now, I mean, some of this is structural. When you go into a recession, that age group disproportionately will tend to be more of the managers, the CEOs, that sort of occupation. And they tend to be the last to go. So when there are layoffs, it'll usually hit the younger workers first.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's time to hire, if businesses aren't hiring, it's the younger workers who aren't getting hired because they're the ones looking for work. So you see that right off the bat. And then, of course, we've got the aging demographics anyway in terms of our total population. So that affects it as well. And then you've got, some of that group coming in out of retirement as well to, you know, just maybe their 401ks didn't do as well as they planned, or, you know, it could be any number of reasons. Maybe they just want to work.
Mm-hmm.
But in a market where there are fewer jobs, that can affect the youth employment as well.
Right. And I can imagine if the economy is squeezing everybody, people that are in the 55 to an older category might have a more pressure to get back into the labor force than someone that's still living at home.
Right, right. And it's not a value judgment on it. I mean, I understand completely. And people who are 16 to 24, you know, they've got a little more time to make up some of those earnings, you know, whereas someone 55 or older is, you know, they need that money and they need to make it up. So, and the 16 to 24-year-old could end up in that same situation. So it's not really it's good or bad. It just is kind of how things are going right now.
Right. We're talking about youth employment in Wisconsin and why it matters. The number is to call in is 800-228-5615. The number again is 1-800-228-5615. Feel free to give us a call. Phone lines are wide open. And you can also post a question or a comment on the Westside Facebook page, and we'll get it on the air. Now, Scott Hodak and Scott Morfitt and Jody Connor, feel free to jump in at any time. But would you go ahead, Jody Connor?
Okay, just thought on while young people have time to make up what they haven't earned in the recession, there are some statistics that show that individuals that are first entering the workforce that because they're delayed and that they do suffer earnings loss throughout their entire careers. I think Scott can probably talk about that as well. But this is something that'll follow them all the way through. It especially falls on those people who enter the workforce at the time that the economy is soft and unemployment is high.
Okay, Scott.
Yeah, that is true. And it also when you enter the labor force in those kinds of times of economic uncertainty, you find that people do tend to earn less over the course of their career. And I think some of it is, of course, making up some of that lost income. And some of it is you tend to become risk averse in terms of so you may not look for that next opportunity because you place such a high value on holding the job you have. So there are always ramifications to something like that.
Sure. Now, this data that you that you gracefully or graciously, I should say, maybe you did it graciously.
I did it very gracefully.
Did any of it surprise you? Was there anything that stuck out and kind of punched you in the face?
You know, honestly, I would say this is pretty much what I expected. Recessions do tend to be a lot harder on the youth because they just don't have that job experience yet, and it's really hard to find a job in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is for once comforting to see when the data actually does back up what you expect. But, sure. I mean, at the same time, I could wish the situation were different. But.
Right, as we all do. Scott Morfitt, media coordinator for West Central Wisconsin Workforce Resources. Why does this matter? Why does the unemployment rate among youths matter? I guess that's the overarching question for this program. Why should we care?
Well, Rich, it matters for several reasons. One of the starting ones is that youth that tend to work tend to have money, so they can contribute to the tax base and lower dependence on government money.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you think about the disposable income in the 16 to 18-year-old age bracket, they are able to do more things like buy stuff at the mall or just have those fun things that they do with their money that a lot of us remember from being in high school and having our first money.
I spent it about as fast as I earned it myself. I don't know about the rest of you, but yeah, I can understand that. And Jody Connor, why do we care?
We care because in a lot of ways results in a loss of potential to our workforce and to the whole state. You know, we know that the current recession and the economy is a very complicated thing. And we hear all the time from manufacturers, you know, that they don't understand. There's this high unemployment rate, super high unemployment rate with youth, and yet they cannot find people with the skills they need.
Right.
And we're looking at this as how do we resolve both those issues, the high unemployment among youth who have not found a good career track, and at the same time try to start tackling some of the problems the state has with Scott mentioned that manufacturing is one of those places where the workforce is aging. We have a lot of plants right now where some of the most skilled people are coming within that retirement age. And we are not developing the youth to replace them. And that has a tremendous economic impact not that far down the line. In fact, some people think that one of the reasons we're having a little difficulty getting out of the recession is that we can't fill open positions now with skilled people to take, you know, who can do those kinds of things. And my particular focus is manufacturing, but it's in other areas as well.
You know, and that has puzzled me because we've got near record enrollment in tech colleges, and we have had for a while. Universities are seeing extremely high enrollment, but yet there is that gap that employers are still saying they don't have enough skilled workers. And what's going on, Scott Hodak?
I like how you point at me. Like, yeah. It's not my fault, by the way.
No.
Well, you know, there are a lot of different reasons that can be happening. I mean, for the For younger employees, yeah, it could easily be they don't have the skills, and sometimes employers will say it's the soft skills that they're missing, you know, the things that they would get from that first job.
Sure. What are soft skills?
Oh, things like just knowing how to present yourself, knowing customer service is a huge one.
Sure.
You know, knowing how to just show up on time, be punctual. I mean, all the things that you get out of a first job.
Scott Morfitt, you'd like to jump in and add to this?
One of the other things that first-time work experience really builds is a unique mentorship opportunity. Working with a boss, and a lot of us remember our first boss, be they good or bad,
right?
But they have a direct stake in both your employment and the success or failure of their industry. So just having that boss as a mentor and someone to work with them builds those employability skills.
Now, just curious, each of us, let's just throw out the age when we first started working. I'll start with you, Scott Morfitt. And paper routes, you know, I'll accept it, but I'm talking about a job where you punch a clock or something.
I was refinishing gym floors at 14 in high schools.
All right, Jody Connor?
Pulling yellow rocket and picking rocks for the local farmer doesn't count, right?
Well, we'll take it, you know.
Gosh, I have to think back. I was a scorekeeper for City Recreation League when I was 14.
Okay. And Scott Hodick?
I'd say my first actual job, you know, not mowing lawns or any of that part-time, like, building work would be probably 15 or 16, I think it was. I was washing dishes.
Okay. And for me, I was, yeah, I was working at a catering outfit at about 14. And so, yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine not – it just seems like there's – you see help wanted signs out there, and it's still hard for me to gather why we have numbers like this. Jody Connor.
Some of this is just individuals have become disconnected from work to some extent. Maybe the opening jobs, the entry-level jobs out there are not desirable to some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they haven't taken that first job, they don't know how to go to the second one. People see some of these entry-level jobs as dead-end jobs. And one of the things, you know, I tell people, there's no such thing as a dead-end job. They all lead somewhere. Maybe they lead to a job somewhere else because of the references and experience you got here. Maybe they lead you up the ladder within the corporation. I mean, we joke a lot about McJobs, but more corporate leaders have come out of that organization mm-hmm. than you would understand. And so there's no such thing as a dead end, but a lot of young people don't understand that. And they just look and they don't take advantage of all the small opportunities that are out there that lead to bigger and better opportunities.
Right, right. And so, I mean, is there, Scott Morfitt, is there, I mean, there's a presumption among some that, well, these kids are at home, they're living off their parents. You know, have kids gotten soft on work lately?
I think that judging from any one age group that's a really broad question.
Right, right.
I know that some youth aren't pursuing jobs in the higher income brackets because they do different summer activities such as going to college prep courses and stuff.
Sure.
But I don't think that it's across the board that youth are sitting at home watching TV all day. I think that a lot of them are actively seeking employment. And that is what the news reports that I've been reading all this summer are saying. It's not for a lack of searching.
And Scott Hodick, DWD labor economist, how do we know when a youth, or anyone for that matter, has stopped looking for work?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, a lot of people assume that once you, say, fall off unemployment insurance, you're not counted anymore.
Right.
And it's really – that's actually not the way it works. It's a pretty complicated model, but it's actually based on a survey.
Okay.
And the survey will ask you, you know, are you actively looking for work? So if you aren't, then you aren't in the labor force anymore. And that's really – it does use the unemployment insurance statistics. It uses a lot of other statistics, surveys too. So it all comes together into a black box model. But in the end, yeah, I would say it's mainly the survey portion of it that lets us know, the people who have stopped looking.
Okay. I didn't realize that. So DWD will send out surveys to...
Yeah, that's
okay,
correct.
Okay.
I mean, it's a federal program. It's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But yeah, we take care of that.
All right. Well, we're talking about youth unemployment in Wisconsin and why it matters for the rest of the economy. You can give us a call at 800-228-5615. The number again is 800-228-5615. We're going to take our first break here, and when we come back, we're going to start taking a look at the Workforce Resource. It's a nonprofit local to Western Wisconsin, and its goal, part of its goal, is to train youths and get them in the workforce. And we'll pick up the conversation when we get back. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Wisconsin's unemployment rate last year was 7.8%, but among youths 16 to 24, unemployment was about double that, at around 15%, 14.9 to be exact. So how does that impact our local economy here in western Wisconsin and the states in general, and for that matter, the nation? And does that youth unemployment lead to a less capable workforce in the future? Well, we're already talking a little bit about that this hour, and we're highlighting a local nonprofit organization that's working to close that gap with youth unemployment through some training programs and job placement. I'm joined by Scott Morfitt and Jody Connor of West Central Wisconsin Workforce Resource and labor economist Scott Hodek of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. If you've got a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. Do you think that youth unemployment is a big deal? And what should we do to stop it? 800-228-5615, or post the question on our Westside Facebook page. Now, one question before we start getting into the specifics of what Workforce Resources does. I've got one more question for you, Scott Hodek, and we'll have others, I'm sure. But what about the youth unemployment rate with those individuals that have a tech school degree or a four-year university degree? Is that – it's got to be a little bit better than those without?
Oh, yeah, for sure. One thing you notice, and I don't have the number itself off the top of my head, but just looking at statistics, the more education you have, the lower the unemployment rate is for that group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just even dissecting that 16 to 19 and 20 to 24 out of the whole 16 to 24 group, you notice that the 20 to 24 group, they have a much lower unemployment rate than the 16 to 19. You know, it's still higher than the you know, total unemployment rate. But a lot of that, I think, reflects education and experience. So, yeah, I mean, I would say for sure that someone with that if we looked at that statistic, if you had a tech school degree versus, you know, maybe just a high school degree, that unemployment rate would definitely be lower.
All right. So now let's get into West Central Workforce Resource. And to be honest, before this program, I really didn't know a whole lot about the organization. And I'll start with you, Scott Morfitt. Tell us a little bit, what's the overarching goal of West Central Wisconsin Workforce Resource?
Well, Rich, to risk a short answer, it's to help people find jobs and to get them placed in very sustainable work opportunities. With our youth, we do a mix of in-classroom and real-world training,
mm-hmm.
through like job enhancement trainings. So they learn skills like resume building, career planning, and educational pathways to success. And in this last month for youth in our Dunn, Eau Claire, and Chippewa County youth, we had a financial services academy where we worked with some great local banks to teach youth personal finance management beyond just checkbook keeping, but also doing pathways for future success. And then also we showed them entry-level careers in the banking and finance industry. So that's some of the mini programs we do. The one that I'm most excited about today is the Manufacturing Academy, though, that Jody has been spearheading.
So, Jody, you mentioned that manufacturing is your thing. Why is it so important, do you think, for turning around the youth unemployment rate, manufacturing in particular?
Sure. Can I say a few more things about Workforce Resource?
I wish you would.
Thank you. Yeah, just a note. We're a private nonprofit employment and training agency, and we work in 9 counties.
Right.
Clark County, where I work, is the easternmost, but we go all the way over to the river, the St. Croix, the Polks, and so forth. So we cover a pretty large geographic area. And we're not just a youth program. We work with dislocated workers, in other words, people who have lost their jobs through factory closings and layoffs. We work with veterans who are returning from the service, and we work with youth as well as low-income adults. So it's a wide variety of individuals. And our summer program is basically, we call it our career venture. Parts of that are to match youth with at their current skill levels, with employers who can use them at those skill levels and expand on that. Part of that is the soft skill training. Scott mentioned about the soft skills being very essential today. And so a big part of our training programs, we call it Job Enhancement Training, JET, is to give people the soft skills. Because, you know, nothing drives the employer community crazier than people who don't have basic foundation soft skills, how to get along, mm-hmm. how to negotiate the workforce culture, appropriately problem solve issues. So we work on those kinds of things. We do job site training, and maybe that's where we get it, where we get into what we're doing as a Clark County project. As I mentioned, I'm trying to look at two different issues. One is the youth who are having, you know, potentially great workers, wonderful workers, but they're having trouble finding an established career track. And then we have this manufacturing community in Wisconsin, which has the great potential to lead us out of the recession, but they can't find the workers with these more advanced skills. You know, Wisconsin traditionally has been a manufacturing state.
Mm-hmm.
I believe even after the recession, we're still strong. We have the largest part of our economy of any state involved in manufacturing. I believe that's still correct. And so we got this great tradition, but what you're seeing is the changeover. You're seeing general production type jobs, the kind of job that I could go into as a high school graduate, or I could go into even without a high school diploma. You're seeing those continue to decline, but they're being replaced by these more skilled positions. Things that come with titles like numerical control operator, or you know, CNC, advanced welders, machinists. And so what we're trying to do is connect youth with the potential into that career track. So what we started in Clark County is a manufacturing academy, where essentially their job for the summer is to learn more advanced skills. Not pretending that this is going to put anybody, you know, into an advanced position. It's whetting their taste. It's giving them the experience and the first entry-level skills.
Sure.
And this is really a partnership between ourselves. Chippewa Valley Technical College is very involved because we have purchased a curriculum and their instructors are providing it. Neillsville High School has provided the space and their industrial arts lab for a welding class. And we've been working with local businesses to tailor it, and they've employed a few people as we've gone along. Hmm. It's still a work in progress. One of the things here is that it's not just a summer program. When our actual class ended yesterday, and now comes the hard work. We've got the people that have gone through it. Now comes either placing them into jobs, maybe with further additional training funded by our agency on the job training, or let's get them back into a technical college where they can get a 1-year or 2-year technical diploma that will qualify them to do this kind of advanced manufacturing work that is going to become, you know, the future Wisconsin, if it isn't already the Wisconsin.
Now, how many students go through the academy at a time?
It's a small group. We limit it to 10, and the reason for that is that's how many could be accommodated within the welding lab at the high school. One thing we've learned over the years with young people is keep them busy. Mm-hmm. So don't create a lot of standing around time.
Right.
And they prefer it that way, too. These guys really want to be hands-on. They want to do something. This is different than the high school classes they may have had. And this is a group that runs anywhere from we've got some late teenagers to some young men in their early 20s. But it's very different than the classes they had before because the emphasis is on hands-on, you know, the practical application. You know, so you may have a person that really didn't like math in high school, but when you see the practical application of it, you know, you say calculus to a high school kid and their eyes glaze over, but then you put a piece of metal in front of them and you say, hey, can you cut this in a precise angle to such a degree of tolerance that you can't see it? Mm. And here's how you're going to measure it out. Suddenly it makes sense.
Right. Well, that sounds a lot cooler than digging in a textbook or something.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of partnerships going with this.
Okay. I want to get into the partnerships, mm-hmm. But before that, are these just Any youth that wants to can sign up for it? Or are they maybe at-risk youth, or how do they get to this program?
They had to meet a certain income requirement, and that gets complicated. So,
sure.
you know, I could give you the chart with the statistics, but there's so many whereases and wherefores that it wouldn't make sense. They were individuals that they did meet our income requirements. We recruited them by basically going to schools and talking to tech ed instructors and saying, you know, who would meet, you know, our requirements, has a deep interest in doing this kind of work, has the basic skills. We didn't run this as a remedial class. So we did ask, you know, for where possible that individuals read and do math at the ninth grade level, you know, because they have to be able to keep pace with what's going on. And we got a pretty good slate of candidates that applied. We could have taken more than 10 if we'd had the capacity for it.
Okay. And now partnerships. I mean, what you mentioned Chippewa Valley Technical College. Mm-hmm. What other organizations or companies are helping out with this?
Well, right now the actual class is in Neillsville.
Okay.
Chippewa Valley Tech has a satellite campus there. They did not have a welding lab there, so the actual welding portion of this is being done at Neillsville High School, which has a very nice welding lab, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would know welding very well. But they're not charging us for the lab. They see it as an asset to the community that helps the employer base. When the employer base grows, then the community grows with it. And when you help many of these were students or former students at Neillsville, though it's not exclusively Neillsville. We have students from Loyal, Greenwood, Granton, you know, basically southern Clark County. We would have taken them from the northern part of the county as well. We just didn't have any applicants that wanted to do that drive.
Right.
They're all young men. I will put a pitch here. We would have loved to have a young woman in there too, or three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's not limited to that. Anyway, it's everybody working together. To make this happen. And employers, currently I have two youth that are working at, can we say the business here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Fabricating Specialists in Neillsville.
Okay.
Which is a metalworking firm. Well, this is aimed at metalworking.
These are students that went through the program and...
While they were still in the program, they started.
Oh, okay.
They had some capacity to take a few people on early. And we have one starting at OEM, which has a... facility in Neillsville, as well as one in Woodville, Wisconsin.
So for those students that aren't able to find one of these slots in OEM or in the metal fabricating place, what then? I mean, are they just kind of
set
free?
No, not at all. We aren't done with them in the least. First of all, they've completed the class, but we don't think that it completes their education. Again, for individuals that right now we have job developers in the agency, and we are talking to various businesses about, hey, now that they've completed this, and again, we never thought that this was a complete program per se. It's a start. But if there was an employer who would be interested in doing the finishing out process themselves, we'd certainly be very happy to provide them with some on-the-job training funds to do that. But the other thing is, we would like them to return to a technical college. In one or two cases, the students have already been to tech, not finished a program, didn't find what they liked, or it just didn't work. And we want to get them back in. We want to finish that because, again, the skills are what are really important. They're mm-hmm. they're not something that are easily provided often by the employer. They're certainly not something that the average person, you know, the average person walking off the street, you cannot weld stainless steel. You know, you can't make a weld that's attractive, or that you can't see that it was welded, has no cracks, has no bubbles, even when you put it in an ultrasound machine. That's what they're letting you do, and that takes a long time.
And you know, one thing, you know, I went through school for too many years to become a broadcaster, and I love it. But I've had a couple friends who did a tech school degree and they got into welding. Well, they're making twice or three times what I'm making. So that's just an aside right there. We're talking about youth unemployment in Wisconsin and a local nonprofit group that's working to turn those numbers around and train youths and get them in career track jobs. And we'll be right back with more discussion. We've also we've got a youth that is involved with the Manufacturing Academy who will be joining us by the phone right after this break. You're listening to The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in and sticking with us this hour. We've got wide open phone lines. We're talking about youth unemployment in Wisconsin. Right now, it's about double, and this is nationally too, double the rate of the adult population unemployment. And we're talking about why it matters, how it affects the economy, and how it affects the labor force in the future if these youth are unable to come back from this unemployment gap. You can give us a call and throw your questions at or comments at any of our guests here. We're joined by Scott Hodek of the Department of Workforce Development, Jody Connor of he's the Clark County Coordinator for West Central Wisconsin Workforce Resource, and we're joined by Scott Morfitt, Media Coordinator for West Central Wisconsin Workforce Resource. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. Phone lines are wide open. Now, we're talking about the manufacturing segment or the Manufacturing Academy in Clark County, which is one of the programs offered by West Central Workforce Resources. Now we're joined by a youth, technically, is what we call him, but a young fellow named Jeffrey that is a recent graduate of the Manufacturing Academy, or you've been involved with it. Jeffrey, you're on the air, and thanks for calling into the West Side.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Yourself?
Very good, actually.
All right. So what's your relationship with this Manufacturing Academy?
My relationship? I was looking for a job, and I honestly didn't have one in Nielsville. I had one in Eau Claire, but I wasn't getting enough hours to, you know, survive and, like, rent. And so I was actually losing and getting a debt from there. So I was coming back to Nielsville and looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the job center, and I found this new program that they're offering, the Manufacturing Academy. And it really caught my attention because I really liked the welding aspect. And
right.
So I learned more information about that, and I just this is what I want to be in, and that's how I found it, and that's how I'm here.
Cool. You got the reference and you started out, like, what did you learn right away? I mean, we were talking earlier about soft skills and more hard skills like the welding itself, but what about it made you realize that, hey, this is what I want to do, or this is at least the industry that I want to be in?
Well, to me, it was all into the welding. I really learned that I'm a hands-on learner, that you could tell me in a book, and it's just like, okay, I get it. But then if you, like, ask me a day later, I have a hard time recalling a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the welding, I mean, you could show me, and I was like, this is how you do this, and you're supposed to do it this way. And I was like, I want to try that. And I just, you know, I learned a lot better doing it that way. And that's just, like, what really gets to me and how it made me know that I want to be here. This is, like, something I want to know more about, even possibly go back to school and get my degree in welding.
Now, when you went into the Manufacturing Academy and got involved with Workforce Resource, had you already been to tech school?
Actually, yeah. Like I said before, I was living in Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
I was currently going for business management. I always kind of imagined myself being able to running and managing a business, and I really actually liked doing that. And but the problem is, though, is I couldn't find a decent enough job in Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need a place to live, a rent, which I had to pay for, electricity and all that stuff adds up, and on top of that, school and food. I just wasn't surviving, and I couldn't get a job that was adequate enough for me.
Right.
And so then I thought that maybe I'll come back to Nielsville and try to find a job during the summertime, and that would be better than Eau Claire. And that's why, I, you know, I kind of hope someday I can go back and finish that and get my business management degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, but in the meantime, I mean, and not taking anything away from welding, I mean, that's a pretty good paying gig as well. Have you been able to find any work with the skills that you've gotten through the academy?
Well, I was actually listening to your program, and I'm actually one of those two students that got a job at the fabricating specialist midway through the manufacturing academy that we took. And yeah, I started up there every Thursday for about 10 hours a day, and I gotta say, I mean, I really enjoy the job up there. I enjoy the people, the environment around there. It's a great place to work at.
Cool. And is it paying the bills?
It's paying. It's helping. I'm only part-time now, but they're talking about possibly hiring me full-time in soon, end of August or around there. And I'm just waiting for them on that order. And I'm having another part-time job on the side, help my dad with his plumbing business. And I'm living now. I'm doing a lot better than I did in Eau Claire. Hmm. I wasn't getting anything more than 20 hours a week.
Right.
And now I'm getting more in Newsville just having this.
Well, that's great to hear. And now, Jody Connor, I mean, is this, you know, in a lot of things they've got disclaimers. Is this a typical experience, Jody Connor?
Well, it's a good experience. Will everybody? Not everybody, but we think we can duplicate this. One of the things that excite me is the fact, you know, a person like Jeff can acquire skills, continue education through the years. One of the wonderful things I like about training people in the metal industry is it sheds new jobs. In other words, if people work, it's a really great industry where people go to work for a while and then they decide they want to start their own.
Sure.
And one leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And I'm hoping that here we have a case for someone who's had a little business management, the skills, and that sort of spinoff can happen in the future. You know, some real entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of jived on it.
So Jeff, the business, you know, if you're able to get back and finish your degree, I mean, is that a possibility down the road? Is starting your own maybe welding shop or metal fabricating outfit?
Actually, that is one of my goals, and eventually to be able to acquire enough income to be able to open that shop or even a small business, a store, would be nice. I mean, I really like welding, but I really always imagined about running and managing a business. Even managing a business in a shop would be great. I mean, that's something that is almost like a goal that I want to achieve sometime in the near future.
That's pretty cool. So would you recommend to friends of yours or you know, other people you meet that are in your same age group, would you recommend a trip to the manufacturing academy or a call over to the, you know, to job training kind of programs like this?
Absolutely. Honestly, this has been taking the manufacturing course from the workforce resource people was probably one of the best decisions I've done in a long time, and I'm actually psyched that I did and took this. And I definitely will and did already tell my friends that they should do something like this.
Cool.
And take programs that could further them.
All right. Well, hey, best of luck to you, and I appreciate you calling in. Is there anything else you'd like to add on this topic?
I think that pretty much covered, and thank you for giving me the time to talk about it and explain my experience.
No, it's our pleasure, and best of luck to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
You too.
And we're talking about youth unemployment in Wisconsin and a local nonprofit group that is working to turn the tides and lower the gap between unemployment right now, which is double for youth, double the number it is among adults. The number is 800-228-5615. The number, again, is 1-800-228-5615. Now, I hate to be a thorn in the side, but every time, whenever I'm talking to a nonprofit group, I've got to talk about or try to bring up funding. And with the recession, you know, and
donations. I've heard that donations to nonprofit groups are down. Funding from the state and the federal level are down as well. Scott Morfitt or Jody Connor, is this the case for Workforce Resource?
Well, we could always use more. I mean, for example, if we'd had more funding, we probably would have employed more students this summer. I mean, I've been with the agency for a long time. I can remember when I started out, we in Clark County alone, I think one of the summers I worked as a job coach, we had 113 people in positions. I mean, and this summer we had 20. So, but then again, I don't want to bellyache. I mean,
no.
or anything like that.
It's a reality.
Yeah, it's a reality. The mantra these days is do more with less. To the best of my knowledge, for the upcoming year, we're holding our own. You know, you're not seeing an expansion. We as an agency, now a lot of our funding is federal. Even though we're not a governmental agency, we do receive what's called Workforce Investment Act funds that originate with the federal government, are transferred to us through the Department of Workforce Development. And that really becomes probably the majority of what we work with. But we've been very aggressive about also going out and approaching business groups. For example, our summer financial academy was financed by a private business, and so we've understood that you can't depend on the government's ability 100% anymore, and we're holding our own, and I think we're doing pretty good, but you know, we're always happier with a little more.
right. It's just that, you know, a common theme that I had heard is that you know, different funding sources from federal and state, you know, programs are kind of dwindling a little bit.
Even though inflation's been low, there's still inflation. When you don't go up, you're actually going down.
Right.
And that does limit your ability. I mean, we also, we also place adults into training. We help fund that training. We're starting to feel a little constrained there.
Hmm.
We don't want to get in the position, you know, we're telling everybody just, well, you should go out and take out a big loan, you know, because a lot of our customers, that's just not a real feasible thing to do.
Right.
You know, so we'd like to help them as much as possible.
Okay. So back to the overall youth unemployment. Scott Morfitt, there was a report by the Young Invincibles. It's a group that is kind of an advocate for folks that are in that category of 16 to 21. One of the things I think is that they mentioned is that that I didn't quite understand was, let me grab it here. First of all, they said 2.7 million youths are currently estimated jobless, and that's about the population of Chicago, supposedly. But it says the real danger is that the youth labor market will never recover from the recession's blow. Any thoughts on that? Why that might be, or what are they trying to get at there?
I'm not completely sure if I'm the Scott that should be answering this question.
Scott Hodak, a labor economist. What would they be pointing to there?
Well, I would be happy to answer that question. I mean, there's no doubt that sort of thing will have long-reaching effects. But, you know, the other thing that I'm not sure they're taking into account is that the baby boomer generation, I mean, no matter how long you want to work, no one can work forever.
Right.
And eventually, that group is going to leave the economy. And that's going to leave an unprecedented amount of job openings and upward mobility spots for young workers. So to have someone say that we're never going to recover just sounds very unlikely to me.
Okay.
The word never is it's a word economists just don't use.
Maybe the more correct thing is it's going to take a long time for those jobs that, you know, are normally filled by youth to be filled. I agree with Scott that never is a long time. But they also, you know, if you look at that projection, they're talking about 2021 before they reach the kind of employment they had prior to the recession.
Right.
And again, part of that is individuals are being delayed entering the workforce. And put yourself in an employer's shoes, you know. You're going to hire a 16-year-old, you understand why that 16-year-old maybe doesn't have much job experience. If the economy persists and that 16-year-old cannot get a job for many years on, suddenly what, you're 24, 25, and now you have very little job experience. You're kind of held back, and it's going to make it difficult to enter it in the future.
Right.
Okay, and at the same time, we perhaps are not creating the kinds of jobs that young people typically enter into for a lot of different reasons, you know, whether it's the older people hanging on to to jobs that they wouldn't have taken before. Or the fact that, you know, back when I was 20, I worked in a factory for like 4 months and I was replacing somebody who went on vacation. Mm-hmm. Well, today, when somebody goes on vacation, you don't replace them.
Right.
You know, everybody fills in.
All right, we've got a caller on the line, and we're going to go to Dunn County, and Terry is on the line. You're on the air, Terry. Thanks for calling in, and what's your thoughts?
Thank you for taking my call. You mentioned that you're funded partially by the federal. How much is the state chipping in on this? And I have a second question, too.
Sure. Terry, Connor, any idea?
As far as I know, and again, there's small grants and things. I believe there's very little state tax dollars into our organization. We do some side projects, and I'm not always on top of where all the funding on them, but they'd be a very small part of our budget.
Okay. Terry, you had another question. You say
you said you had a collaboration with the tech college system. Where do they get the funding to support your efforts?
They have the technical college. I hate to speak for the technical colleges, so I don't want to do it at any length. They of course have some taxing ability, but in the case of our summer youth academy, we paid for that class using training funds that we had. So those training funds would have originated from a federal source.
Yeah, this sounds like a good program, but the disconnect I see is, it seems like the Neillsville school district is an exception rather than the rule because of the foresight to invest in a welding lab.
Sure.
Well, the welding lab in itself is a. Do I need a break here?
Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. The welding lab itself is kind of a collaboration because some of the equipment was provided by a local manufacturer. So again, everybody's working together to grow the skills, grow the labor force.
And we, you know, situations like what's happening in Neillsville would be great if it happened at more schools. So, Terry, thanks for the call, but we've got to wrap up the program. And I want to thank the guests this evening, Scott Hodek from the Department of Workforce Development, Scott Morfitt, and Jody Connell, Connor of Workforce Resources. Thank you all so much. This is the West Side. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.